I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 11. And you can remain seated as we read through this. The Apostle Paul writing here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." I would like to pray again to ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, would you please bless your word? It is your word. It's not mine. Certainly we are going to seek to apply it to circumstances which I've made clear start with me. But I believe that these circumstances are not isolated to me. I believe that you give us your word because it is timely. It is timeless. It is eternal, but it's also right now. Please, God, we've read your word. Open our eyes to see its reality. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who gives us access to pray to you. Amen. As I already mentioned, in verse 3, we see that God is the source of all comfort. If I am to find comfort of any sort, any type, of any kind, I cannot find it anywhere outside of God. And let me say it this way. That God, all good things come from God. If you go all the way back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, what did God create? Everything he created was good. He even said that himself. He said, I created this, and this, and said, and it was good. And it was good. He kept saying that. The bad doesn't show up until chapter 3. Right? And why does the bad show up? Because God is a mean God who says he's zapping people because he doesn't like them. No. What happened? There was sin that entered into the world. So everything that God produces is good. Everything that is not of God is bad. Therefore, if I want comfort, I got to look to the one who produces nothing but good.
Amen.
Do you see the logic of that? Again, the Bible specifically tells me he is the God of all comfort. So all comfort, if there is comfort, the Bible explicitly tells me if there is comfort to be found, it's going to be found in God. But again, if you don't buy that, which you should buy that, but if you don't buy that, the logic itself tells you that God makes all things good. Man does nothing but sin. Things that are not of God are nothing but bad. God is nothing but good, so if you are to find good, it must be from God.
Yes.
It's just a logical point. But let me go further for this, because I think this is what I know. This is what I do often when I'm in trouble, whether it's, again, whatever your trouble is, because I don't want it to just be an emotional pain, too, because I think physical pains can bring this about. I think relational pains can bring this about. All sorts of pains and sufferings that we go through. But whenever we're in trouble, instead of, this is our natural response, instead of looking up and saying, God is good, like I was telling you, God is good, God is good, God is good, regardless of what's going on around, instead of doing that, you know what we do? And everybody does it a little bit different. But I'll tell you, I eat ice cream. I'm just speaking, I don't know what y'all do, but I eat ice cream. That's one of the things that I do. It's not the only thing I do. Thank the Lord that's not the only thing I do, because if that's all I did, I'd be twice the size I am. But I eat ice cream because ice cream feels good. It tastes good in my mouth. Now, I know that's silly, but I have to be really analyze what's going on. That's what I do. I find more ice cream than you can. I just, it's good stuff. You know what some of you might do? You might turn to the television. You might turn to an internet. You might throw yourself into your work. You might throw yourself into your family, your hobby. I don't know what it is for you. It might be something silly like ice cream. It might be something dangerous like drugs or alcohol. Or it might be something that's fairly innocuous and maybe even healthy in a certain way, but because of the way you're using it, it's a gift from God, like your family or your church even. These are things that we can use as our comfort.
Amen.
But we're not looking to God, who is the source of all comfort. And when we do that, not only are we, again, there's two things that are happening here. One is we're finding our medicine from something that is less effective, first of all, because ice cream, as good as it is, as much of a gift from God as it is, it ain't going to cure nothing. It might even bring on new pains, new sorrows, if I don't watch it, you see. So not only when I go to these other things that are not God, are they less than satisfying? That's the first part. First problem with it. And again, I urge you, in your own mind, because I don't know your heart and your and it's not for me to know. It's your private thing to deal with. But in your own mind, insert your problem and insert your solution. Because again, we all have them and we all do them. And think about it, that thing either is at the best satisfying for a moment, soothes the pain for a moment, and it never really addresses the problem. It's less than satisfying. And more than less than satisfying, again, that in itself should say, no, let's look to God because God is good. He is the source of all comfort. That in itself should say that, but we need to go further and understand that what we have just done is we have taken something that might be good. In many cases it's not good, but sometimes it's a good thing. And we have taken that and put it on the throne instead of God.
Amen.
Yeah. And again, I want you to go back because I want you to see how silly what I just said is. Because we do this. I eat ice cream. God Almighty in heaven, the source of all that is good. And I got some chocolate ice cream over here. Do you see how stupid that is? But we do these things. This is what we do. The source of all comfort. Instead of looking to Him, we look to the dairy case. Or, again, I keep talking about God. You know what your problem is. You know what you go after. That's what we're not just finding something that's less than satisfying. That alone is a problem. But it's more than that. It's idolatry. We have put something in the place of God. The one to whom we should look. Yes, we should worship Him and love Him. But do you know how you worship Him and love Him? Is when you're in the deepest and the darkest of times and you cry out, oh God, I need you now. That's worship. That's as much worship as praising God, the wonderful grace of Jesus and all the songs that we sing. That's as much, if not more, praise when you cry out to Him and say, God, I need you. Nothing else will do. But you know what we do instead? Give me some ice cream. Turn on the TV. Let me go call somebody that's a friend of mine so I can get them to love me. Again, not anything wrong with any of those things. Again, I hope there's nothing wrong with ice cream, because I sin very often if I do. I like ice cream. I think ice cream is a good thing. But when I'm going to that, when I'm going to my family, when I'm going to my job, when I'm going to my hobby, my computer, my whatever it is, your money, I don't know what your poison happens to be, but when I go to that, I'm taking this potentially good thing, I'm raising it to an ultimate thing, and I am worshiping it instead of the God of all comfort. So if there's to be comfort found, it's going to be found in God. That's the first thing we need to see here. Go to verse 4. Speaking of God, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Again, let's make sure we're clear on that. Who's going to be the comfort? Who's going to be the one to comfort us? God. No other one can do that. But it doesn't stop with that. Too many of us, even if you've grasped that, you get that. That's where you stop. But the verse goes on. Keep reading. That, for a reason. There's a because here. He's comforted us in all things, in all of our tribulation, because, or that, we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. Here's the gist. God is the God of all comfort, but God comforts you for a reason. Everything that you go through, every bad thing and every good thing, has been brought about. We say this, sometimes it's just almost a cliche, but it's true. Everything happens for a purpose. Everything's got a reason. And this is true. It's very true. The Bible tells me in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28, that all things work together for God's purposes. It's for His purpose. He's the one in control here. But all that pain and all that suffering that you may be dealing with right this minute, that you're going to deal with tomorrow, that you've dealt with in the past, God's not up in heaven saying, hey, let me see how much I can pour out on them. It's not what He's doing. And I know sometimes Hebrews tells us, you know, God does chasten those who are His own. I'm not taking anything away from that. We mess up and we deserve a spanking and we get it. But that's not what I'm talking about here. Because there's just stuff that happens in life. Some of it's big, some of it's not so big. But at the end of the day, it's not because you messed up. It's not because God's trying to correct you. It's not something you brought on yourself. It's just life. God allows those things to happen because He wants you to take that pain, take that suffering, for Him to be comforted, to be a comfort to you, so that when your brother or your sister has the same kind of problem, or maybe a little bit of a different angle on it, but essentially the same thing, you can know God's the God of all comfort. He's the one to help me. Now I can be an assistance to them. That's why He gives us the church. Could God save us and zap us to heaven? Absolutely. He could have done that. But He didn't choose to. He chose to give us this assembly. In this case, Crestview Baptist Church. A mess of people with a mess of a pastor coming together to say, man, I'm depressed, or man, I'm sick, or man, I'm hurting, or man, I need this help. And I look to God and He helps me, and then I see you need it. So I come and I'll be a help. I'm a help. I see this person needs it, and I'm going to give help to you. That's why God allows these things to happen. The illustration He gives here in verses 8 through 11, He talks about, let's just reread that. This is what He explains what He just says there. He says, for we would not, and He's talking about Him and Timothy. Him and Timothy here are the ones. If you look at verse 1, that's who's talking here. So we, that's who He's talking about. We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. These guys were in trouble. They were bad. He even says, what did he say there at the end? Insomuch that we despaired even of life. They were concerned that they were not going to make it the next day. He talks about this in verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust ourselves, but in God which raised the dead. What does he do? We're in trouble. God's the source of my comfort. But keep reading. Verse 10. who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also, speaking to the church at Corinth, ye also, helping together by prayer for us, that the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Let me make sure I can sort of put this back into the context for you. They're in trouble. They look to God. Said, God is the one. He can save us from hell. He can save us from this jail. Think he can handle this one. But not only that, we know you were praying for us, Corinth. And more than that, because you prayed for us and because we went through this suffering and we were helped by you, God allowed that to happen so that we can turn around and be a help to you. That's why he's done that. So what we've got to be careful of doing is taking the pain and the suffering that God allows us to come into our lives, and even if we can conquer the whole idolatry thing, which is, I think we get hung up on that more than we want to admit. But even if we can conquer that, then we just sort of selfishly absorb the comfort of God and never realize, you know what, I'm not the only one dealing with this stuff. I've got a church full of people. I've got a community full of people who are dealing with addictions, who are dealing with pain, who are dealing with suffering, who are dealing with sin, who are dealing with hurt of all sorts and kinds. God has allowed me to endure this. He's comforted me, not so I can sit back and say in a church service maybe one day, praise God, he helped me through it. Yes, say that. Please say that. But that's not the only reason he did it for you. He did it for you so that when Gilbert has a problem, we can come up beside him and say, hey, brother, we're praying for you. And be and mean what you say and do it.
Amen.
So when Brother Charles needs some help on something, we can come up beside him and say, you know what, brother, I've been through the same thing or something just like it. I can help you. Anything I can do to help you, let me help you. That's why he gives us those things.
Right.
Not to consume them on our own lusts, but to take them, absorb them, and give them back out. That's why he's given it to us. Christianity is not a solo religion. Please understand this. Yes, he saved me individually. I had to put my faith in Jesus Christ, but I was put into a household of faith. What that means is, you're my brother, you're my sister, you're my family. And that means I ought to be able to lean on you. Right. That means you ought to be able to lean on me.
Amen.
It means we ought to be able to help each other. And God sometimes, and because he knows what he's doing, I don't, but he does, he sometimes allows me to deal with some really terrible stuff. And he comforts me so that that household of faith can be built up, can be edified.
Amen.
That's why he does that sometimes. But the thing I want to make sure that we don't lose sight in all this is that there's only one way that any comfort truly comes. Yes, it comes from God, but how does God even give that comfort? I want you to see this in verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Continue reading verse 6. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. That's that idea. I take this pain and suffering. God comforts me so that you can be helped by it, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope in you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the suffering, so shall you be also of the consolation. He's not suggesting, as some Catholic friends might say, yes, which is that you must endure pain and suffering to merit your salvation. He's not saying that. Not at all. He is saying, however, that if I can participate, I can partake of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, that is the source and the ground of all comfort. The fact of the matter is, I have life. True life, eternal life. I have hope. I have a future because of what Jesus did on the cross.
Man.
Again, let's just put this all back in context real quick. Just from the beginning, Matthew's a little down. Matthew eats a little bit of ice cream because he's a little down. You know what the worst possible thing could happen to me? I mean, let's just go real, worst case scenario, what's the worst possible thing? I could die tomorrow and be in the presence of the Creator of the universe. Now, I'm not suggesting I want to die, but I am suggesting to you that that's as bad as it gets for me. You know why that's as bad as it gets for me? Because God is good. Because Jesus died on the cross for me. Because I have life, I have future, I have hope, I have love, I have what I need because of Jesus. Now, if I have not participated in Jesus, I have not partaken, as Jesus himself says, if I've not eaten his flesh and drank his blood, I've not participated in his suffering in that way. In other words, put my faith in him, allow the baptism, going back to Romans chapter 6, being baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. If I have not put myself in Christ, if I'm not there, if he's not my Savior, Paul says in Romans, or excuse me, 1 Corinthians 15, I'm a man most miserable.
Yeah.
I got nothing to look forward to. Best case scenario, I get to live on this nasty planet for 50, 60, 70 years. Best case scenario. Do you see that?
Right.
Worst case scenario as a believer, because I'm in Christ, worst case scenario, I get eternal life with God.
Amen.
Worst case scenario. Best case scenario outside of Jesus. Best case scenario. I get filthy rich with money that is useless beyond this life.
Right.
Do you see the disconnect that we get in our brains? Is that we start worshiping stuff that doesn't matter, but we're in Jesus, which means we got everything we need.
Amen.
And even if we don't have what we need, we're going to get whatever, we're going to get our wildest dreams met. Wait a few years, months, maybe a decade or two, and Jesus will do stuff for you you have never thought about happening before. So when you get a little down, when you get a little pain, a little suffering, a little hurt, and maybe a lot. I don't want to say a little because I'm not trying to belittle it. I know there's some real suffering that goes on with people that are here with us tonight. Real suffering. Real pain. God is good.
Amen.
Look to God. You deserve hell fire. But because of Jesus, you've got a future.
Yes.
Yes, you may have cancer that is eating you alive. And I know that that's got to be, I can't even imagine what that's like. But if you've got Jesus, you've got what you need. Your life may be a total disaster right now. You may be in sin up to your eyeballs and don't know how you're going to get out of it. But if you've got Jesus, he's going to fix you.
Yes.
None of your relationships may be where you want them to be. You may have people that have never spoken to you for decades and may never speak to you again. But if you've got Jesus, you've got the friend that you need.
Amen.
And I want you to understand real quick, this is between us. I'm telling myself this as much as I'm telling you this. Because I believe the truths I just preached to you. I believe what this Bible tells me. But I think we all have the same problem. I hope you're in the boat with me, at least. We believe it. Man, we don't practice this.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll say. And we might even say in passing, God's good. And I'll go home and eat much ice cream. we do this. I do this. You do it. Do we believe he's good? Well, if you do, cry out to him when you need help. Worship him. Take the pain that he gives you and say, thank you. Because I know there's going to be a brother a week from now that needs this. When he gives it to you, say, it's going to hurt. I don't want to take it. But it ain't nothing compared to what I deserve. Because my Jesus died.
Amen.
I think you understand what I'm saying. I think I understand what I'm saying. And I can't say the right words and all that other stuff just to... Because if I did, I could. I would have done it already myself. And that is to click your mind to do something different. That's what we've got to ask God to do. Let's do something different. Because again, we're going into a new year now, 2010. And it's a very different year, because even for this church, I know from your testimonies that some of you, it's been a suffering year for this church in some ways. I'm not talking about just your physical person. I'm talking about the church as a corporate body. I understand that. But what we've got to do now is say, thank you, God, for that pain and suffering. We're going to take that and we're going to apply it to the future.
Amen.
And we're going to know that we are even, the fact that we can even say we're a Christian Baptist church is a blessing.
Amen.
You see that? Because that means that we believe that Jesus died for us.
Right.
As he says in Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to be looking forward to this next year to say, yes, it's a blessing from God.
Yes.
Even if we have no more people ever show up through the doors, it's a blessing from God, because this is what he's given to us. But we're going to do everything we can to serve and worship
him. Praise God.
Because he is good. He is worthy. Now I've got to find a place to land, and I don't have a place to land. Preacher Barley, he taught homiletics. So it's called, the right word according to my seminary friend, homiletics. He taught that, as we always said. You have to find that kind of a place to land. I don't have a place to land. You've got it. You've heard it. There it is. Done. I did want you to hear that, because that's what I've been sort of struggling with.